Christ is still the King.
Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
I'm Bud Maher.
We are coming to you through Iowa Catholic Radio Network, the 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, iowacatholicradio.com, and streaming live on the Iowa Catholic Radio app, brought to you by Blessman Ministries and the People Abstract Company. We are live in Mercy Live Up Studio, and if you want to get started on your Lenten punishment, we are also on the webcam where you can watch all of this go down if you really want to. We, again, like we said, Mercy Live Up Studio. Bud, how are you doing today?
Doing okay. How was your Valentine's Day, Bo?
I don't know. I'm still mad that the Thunder lost to the Golden State Warriors. I told my wife we're just going to have to do romance next year because I was so hoping Russell Westbrook demolished Kevin Durant and his new team. It didn't happen. So basically, we're not even going to celebrate birthdays in our house until the Thunder beat the Warriors, I think.
Don't let Kevin Durant drag
no,
you.
I know.
You're saying Valentine's. This is Valentine's tide now.
That's
Valentine's we're in the tide. Wake of Valentine's Day.
I like that we're like throwing that out.
Eat those little antacids for the next 5 days.
But is right now wearing like a chocolate company shirt, so I think he's a shill for the Valentine's industry. As always, we are underwritten by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where not only do they let Bud and I work, but they specifically and purposefully underwrite our show, Bud.
Yeah, Mercy College has recently kicked off a new HIM major, and this deals with health information management. As we all know, patients' information needs to be treated with the utmost respect and protected, but health professionals need access to that information. And look, this isn't going away. There's tons of information that needs to be recorded and kept and protected. So the HIM track is a great – before the robots take over, this will probably be one of the last jobs out there. So.
So, Mercy College of Health Science. We're also underwritten by Cartridge World, our good friend Joe. We need to really make – we need to get him back in here and talk about KU pulling off overtime wins.
We should do a March Madness episode.
That's right. We should tell, Cartridge World, working overtime for you and walking. We can make a joke
print
about
off your brackets.
Yeah, print out your brackets. There you go. But for business, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable ink and toner cartridges, Cartridge World is what you need. 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400. Business customers can have pickup and delivery, and they are committed to recycling environmentally friendly printing. Cartridge World, underwriters of our show. But we are still on the air. I like to point that out to people because, you know, we tried to take on what could be considered a prickly topic last week, but we actually got a lot of good feedback about practical ways to deal with disagreement, and that made us think that maybe we should do a few more shows talking about practical matters, in particular what prudence means, and that's what we're going to try to talk about today.
Yeah, after talking to some friends about last week's show, I began to think this is one of the ways that the church can witness to the unity that Jesus Christ has brought about, that we disagree or argue in a specific way, charitably. So we want to get deeper into questions about prudential decisions. We know the faith that's been passed down to us. How do we apply that in the world? How do we think about these difficult cases that we sometimes disagree about?
So Bud and I are going to parse that out. We each have a thinker that is very important to us that we're going to bring to the table to try to sort these things out. We also have a great Moments in Church History for you, specifically for St. Valentine's Day. We hadn't done one for a while. I think you'll enjoy it. So stick around. In a minute, we'll be back with The Uncommon Good. I'm Bo with Bud Maher.
Plan to join Iowa Catholic Radio February 24th at St. Francis of Assisi for a special evening with guest speaker Father Cedric, author of 20 books and host of Live with Passion Radio. Free and open to the public, Father Cedric will deliver a dynamic talk on hope. When we expect great things from God, great things will happen. The evening begins with the Saints and Sinners Band. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the band begins at 6:30. Go to iowacatholicradio.com to learn more.
Hey friends, John Lee Netty here, and I am thrilled to be speaking at Faith for the Journey, Iowa's Catholic Men's Conference, Saturday, March 25th at St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church in West Des Moines. Friends, I want you to join me and hundreds of other men of faith as we discuss the challenges and joys in being courageous disciples of Jesus Christ. Register today online at iowacatholicradio.com. You can make a difference in your families and communities. Register today, iowacatholicradio.com.
We're back with The Uncommon Good, underwritten by Mercy College of Health Sciences and Cartridge World, here at the Mercy Live Up Studios. Today we are going to talk about prudential judgment in the church, and what do we mean by prudence. But earlier this morning I was talking to John about this, and John acted like we were throwing out Sanskrit at people when it talks to prudence. I told him there's an entire company called Prudential, but what specifically is the virtue of prudence?
So the virtue of prudence is the ability to I think, take truth and to apply it in the varied situations of the world. So, I mean, the way that I think about this, Bo, is you think about something like physician-assisted suicide or, of course, abortion. Those are intrinsic evils, and we'd say those would be wrong in every case. But we live in a complex world. Now, when we first jump into this, the immediate thought among some listeners is that we're maybe pushing a form of relativism, meaning like there's an unsettled nature to truth. That's not the case. But you take something like economic policy, and the church's tradition, Catholic social teaching, has given us all sorts of clear guidelines on economics, how that works out in our present context. There's going to be arguments about that and decisions that have to be made where you could say, if a Catholic is arguing one side of things, it's not that they're acting contrary to the faith. There's this legitimate disagreement about how this works out practically.
Yeah, like I like to put it this way, that, you know, we have a goal in mind and the church clearly sets the goal. The question starts to be, how do we go from my reality here and now and progress towards that goal? Contextualization can seem like a dirty word where we're coming up with excuses for people, but what we're actually trying to say is that our faith must be incarnate, and if it's incarnate, it must mean it needs to be incarnate here and now. So if we're supposed to do some of these things, like a preferential option for the poor, like we've talked about in the past, why did we bring on that occasion St. Vincent de Paul Society? Because that's a specific way to try to answer this principle, but in the context of Des Moines, Iowa, where we live. What we want to try to help people out with is that this is the case with all sorts of things. And in the prudential area, see, when it comes to dogma and doctrine, my friends, that is incontestable. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to argue every day about the Holy Trinity. It has been argued, it has been asserted, it has been dogmatically declared, and so we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. But there are matters in human life that will always be dependent on variables. And so again, what does it mean to help the poor in 2017 when we have things like an electric grid or monetary policy, which is vastly different than, say, 600 AD, Saxony, where, you know, basically everybody's like eating grapes or whatever. I'm sure that the Saxons are very mad at me for putting it that way. But my point being is we're always going to have to deal with these issues. So the question starts to be, how do we inform our not only our consciences, but how do we inform our minds to have good discussions about what prudentially needs to happen? So there are things that cannot change, and Bud and I, of all people, don't want to act like we can, but there are things that must always deal with a specific situation. And so what we decided today is to talk about two different people that have been important to us that we think can give some insights about how that works. So, Bud, you are a Newman scholar. You've done your vast amount of studies on Newman, your dissertation, and you think Newman can really try to sketch out how dogma and then this reality of the prudential aspect of the church can inform us about what this means.
Yeah, so Blessed John Henry Newman, he was beatified by Pope Benedict XVI. He was a convert to the Catholic Church in the 19th century. And but one thing, when Newman was after he converted, some accused him of wanting to shut off his intellect. His journey into the Catholic Church was portrayed as maybe wanting this really strong authority that would answer all the difficult questions for him so he wouldn't have to think. And Newman made the point that church authority, properly understood, is actually what enables creative speculative thought. And what he had in mind is something similar to, so you think about a virtuoso violin player, I'm not up on these matters, Yo-Yo Ma, there's someone like that out there, right? You know, they
CeeLo Green, something like
something. Yeah. So they don't start at age six, you know, improvising on the violin. they learn the fundamentals and the rules that are in place, and that enables them to have a certain creativity and to become this kind of master. We were talking beforehand about the game of football. You know, football was just like, cross this line when you can. People would run all over the place, but we have a specific field with boundaries, with yardage in place, and those rules, those guidelines are the reasons why people create plays to score touchdowns. It's the same way, I think, in the Catholic Church where, like you said, the church sort of puts fences around, like, look, you cannot say that Jesus was not divine. We know this to be revealed as a matter of divine faith. And that has enabled people like St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas to write some of the greatest speculative treatments of theology that are out there. And so the church really gives us, I mean, Newman, he compares it to almost kind of a contest, but you see this where the church will address a matter, and then the years after that are spent on teasing out how this plays out. So I think about something even in our own time, like Humanae Vitae, which reaffirmed Catholic teaching on the immorality of artificial contraception. Since that time, someone like St. John Paul II, his Theology of the Body, this is a way to say, like, well, you know, how do we explain this to the world? And that becomes a form of public witness or evangelism to those outside the church.
This is the Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Bud Marr. What I was actually thinking, I'm sure I'm going to mess up his metaphor bad, but Chesterton has a metaphor about if you can imagine children on an island, and there's a steep cliff, and off the cliff they go right into the ocean. And he says, you know, putting up fences around the island allows them to be free to dance. But if there's no fence, you actually have to huddle in the middle because you're so worried you might fall off the edge. So dogma and doctrine and principles are that fence and boundary that allow there to be freedom within the boundary of the fence. And Newman, there's all sorts of ways that he explicates that this is the case, that it's actually that dynamic of the boundary that allows true freedom to go on. And so if we're going to talk, friends, about prudence, we need to not conflate these two. We need to realize that it's the sheer boundedness of dogma that we all say the creed together that allows us to actually hash out these difficult issues. And so people who would constantly try to reimagine the faith anew every day are doing no good. Yeah. But then people who act like the church has settled every single thing are also not truly representing the faith. The faith wants a lively dance, but within the boundaries of dogma and doctrine.
So Newman said, if you look back at church history, even figures like the heretics, you know, Arius, Nestorius, we're concerned about their souls. We don't celebrate that they went astray, but retrospectively, we look back, and those challenges to the deposit of faith actually were a spark for the church to clarify matters that could be confusing to people. This, I mean, to me, this really emphasizes the importance of church unity, because once that rupture takes place or the continuity is broken, I mean, I don't want to pick on any specific groups this morning, but you lose, like, the argument can't take place because there's been this divergence, a different path has been taken. The Catholic Church holds together the community that Christ founded, and like you said, it presents these dogmas that serve as boundaries, which you can't go outside of, and that enables the church to speak creatively and prophetically on important matters like we're dealing with these last few weeks.
I think, you know, but you and I were both at Protestant seminary before we converted, and the experience I have is that any conversation would ultimately end up in like these huge ontological philosophical debates because there was so little disagreement. So you could be like, where should we go get a cheeseburger today? And then 30 minutes later, it's like, God is Trinity and what that, I mean, you know, and all of a sudden it's metaphysics in a parking lot. And the church allows us to actually debate specific things because we don't have to constantly reinvent those wheels. I think that's very important to remember. The person I want to bring up, his name's Nassim Nicholas Taleb. He actually is not a theologian. He's actually kind of a jerk, but like, I have a soft spot in my heart for jerks and curmudgeons. You should all know this. He rails against a lot of things that I hold dear. He is not very polite to academians. He thinks there's certain things that we, and but I like him, you know, friends. Just on an aside, I hope God blesses you not with syncophatic friends who just tell you what you want to hear. I hope you have a Taleb in your life who will, you know, say the truth to your face. And Taleb is certainly astringent. So if you do go read him, I can't promise you that you won't go away feeling all warm and fuzzy inside. But I do think he will challenge you in a really great way. And this is what I think is funny. Taleb really points out that we have all this intellectual freedom now, right? We're not very dogmatic. We're not very doctrine-laden. But what happens is when we lack that, people put themselves inside their own intellectual boxes. Yep. They sort of enslave themselves to ideas, because what they find out is when there's not dogmas, freedom is really too much. So he has this book called The Bed of Procrustes. It's actually full of his aphorisms. But he tells, he bases this off the old myth of Procrustes, who's this tyrant in Greek times, who he would sit on the side of roads, and when passerbys would come by, remember, hospitality is a huge thing in the ancient world. So if you're perverting hospitality, you are especially evil in the Greek mind. Well, he'd have them in, and he'd feed them, and he goes, hey, I have this special bed that fits perfectly every traveler that comes in. And this would, you know, beguile the guests. They're like, oh, I want to see this magic bed that fits every traveler. Well, what he was doing is Procrustes meant it would fit everyone, because he would put the people on the bed, and if they were too tall, he'd chop their legs off. And if they were too short, he'd put them on the rack and stretch them. Procrustes literally means the stretcher. So it's this really messed up tale of this guy perverting the sense of hospitality and all these things. Theseus eventually comes and cuts his head off. What Taleb brings this up for, though, is this. We often get the idea, the causality of why we're doing things reversed. So the point of a bed is not to make the human fit on it. The point of a bed is to give a human being rest. So if you have a bed that's too short for a tall guest, you go find another bed. You don't cut off the limbs of your tall guest. But he says in thought, we do this all the time, where we love our idea so much that instead of recognizing that the world operates different than our idea, we will stuff the world into our idea even though it doesn't fit. And funny enough, this is one thing that I always try to press when people read Taleb. It's not that he's like sort of anti-dogmatic and against rules, because again, if there's no rules, nothing happens. What he's trying to say is we make shortcuts about the world, and we're unwilling to see the specific situation. And so this is what I mean, that like our world really does this all very backwards, but we don't like dogmas and doctrines and we want to throw those out. But then prudential judgments, which by their nature should be susceptible to change, will act like they're hard and fast rules. Mm-hmm. So Taleb is really big about pointing out that in economics, there's not some mystical ontological truth. Things can change because money changes. Stock markets weren't a thing 200 years ago. Economics should be pliable, but we'll act like God's not pliable. You know, God can be whatever you want, but economics, oh, it's this, that, or the other. And I think when we're making prudential decisions, that this is something that we need to remember, is we will often be enslaved to our own ideas when they don't need to be enslaved to them.
Yeah, when you were talking about that, it brought to mind even the guidance that Scripture gives us on how to charitably approach a brother or sister with whom you have a disagreement. And I think, Bo, like you're saying, in the church, we have to be careful, because we can have, in our social context, we can have very strong opinions about matters that really are prudential judgments. And sometimes those kind of left-right polarities can almost become a bigger part of our identity than our faith in Jesus Christ. And in saying that, I'm not downplaying, I mean, it's important for us to have these disagreements, but like I said at the start of the show, our ability to do so charitably, to come to the altar and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, but then have these lively debates and dialogues about how we live out our faith in the world, that's one way that we witness to the reconciliation that we have through the cross.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher, Mercy Live Up Studio, talking about prudential judgment. Another thing, I think that's all a fantastic point, but that's exactly what I have in mind. I'll even come out more stronger than you. We'll put our identity in things that will change, right?
Yeah.
300 years from now, there probably will not be the parties that we have now. The sort of commodified identity, right? I buy a shirt and I'm this, that, or the other type of person. Those things will pass away. It's the things that survive in time that really should be what we anchor our life into. This is another thing that Taleb points out. He gives the story of a philosopher, Ludwig Wittgenstein, he is very hard to read. I can't inflict that on anyone off the bat without helping you through it. But Wittgenstein had a very interesting way to put things. He goes, people will act like the academic world is an athletic contest. And you'll see this with publishing or this, that. You know, there's idea about, like, you know, whoever is popular is on top. Funny enough that, especially in philosophy, it seems the more popular and faddish an idea is, the more certain that, like, in 30 years we're all going to look back at it and laugh at it.
Yeah.
And he points out that in philosophy, the goal is not to finish first over the starting line, but to finish last. And what he meant by that is there's sort of a heuristic way that wisdom is the thing that time allows to steep and distill itself out. And when we think about these arguments, this is another important thing to point out. You can think that your idea is just making a lot of sense,
mm-hmm.
and it really seems like everything's matching up. But the real judge about whether our prudential arguments are good or not is just time. There's no other way to judge these things. We look back 30 years from now and we go, oh, that one person, that one small voice, he was the one that got it right.
Yeah.
And time is the sort of astringent that dissolves away what's accidental and non-consequential and gets at the heart of the matter. And so funny enough, with prudential arguments, it seems like we need to get in a hurry and we need to answer them right. They're so pressing. But actually, the big solution to a lot of our prudential arguments is that we just have to be patient enough to take time with them.
Yeah, earlier you used the word incarnate. And wouldn't you say that a question we always have to be asking ourselves is, how do my arguments or convictions flesh themselves out in the real world? You know, we teach the class Servant Leadership at Mercy College of Health Sciences, and we've had students, for instance, furnish an entire apartment for refugee family coming from Myanmar. And that's incarnate. Not all of us may have the time or resources to do something like that, but what I'm saying is sometimes I can get caught up in, did I make the most convincing argument on Facebook? And I set to the side, how is this playing itself out in terms of how I love the people actually around me?
I think that's a perfect way to sort of wrap up this segment right now, is we think about, you know, dogma, and we might think that that's what traps us, but it actually gives us this freedom, like we said, this freedom in the middle of the island to dance, how Chesterton puts it. And also to not be wedded to a temporal idea and try to fit people into beds that don't fit. But then finally, this last aspect, that if we don't have patience enough for our ideas to take on flesh, then we really are just dealing with abstractions and we're not being prudent. Well, Bud, thank you. I think this has been, I hope this has been helpful. It's been helpful for me to think through this. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a minute with the great moments in church history and wrapping up this episode talking about prudence. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting The Uncommon Good with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We're heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network.
A fun and engaging new show that we hope our listeners will love. Be sure to listen.
Plan to join Iowa Catholic Radio February 24th at St. Francis of Assisi for a special evening with guest speaker Father Cedric, author of 20 books and host of Live with Passion Radio. Free and open to the public, Father Cedric will deliver a dynamic talk on hope. When we expect great things from God, great things will happen. The evening begins with the Saints and Sinners Band. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the band begins at 6:30. Go to iowacatholicradio.com to learn more.
St. Vincent de Paul's assists those living in poverty to become self-sufficient. Learn more at svdpsm.org or call 515-282-8327. This message brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
And now, great moments in church history.
The year 270. We think. Look, there are like three St. Valentines in the Roman Martyrology who all died on February 14th, so it's our best guess. Lay off. The place, Rome. St. Valentine, one of them anyway, was not receiving romantic treatment from Claudius II.
St. Valentine refuses to renounce his faith, Jim. He did not have them at hello. They are beating him with clubs, which is not the way to a man's heart. They are beheading him. This is not love, actually.
Pope Julius I is said to have built a church near Ponte Molle to his memory, and his relics are in the church of St. Praxidius.
In order to abolish the heathen's lewd superstition regarding matching up boys and girls by random drawing of names in honor of the goddess Juno, those pagans will say anything. Zealous pastors substituted the names of saints on billets to give to the young. That's a walk to remember!
Are you just saying romantic? At any rate, look guys, I have no clue how we went from a beheaded saint, or three, to giving each other chocolates and roses. And where do we get all these roses in the middle of winter? When did that start?
I have no clue, Kent. Sounds to me like someone didn't buy anything for his wife, even though she is all that!
My name's not Kent. Anyway, St. Valentine, beaten, beheaded martyr, and patron of lovers. There's a comment to be made there, but I'm not going to make it in case my wife is listening. Happy Valentine's Day, sweetie. This has been another Great Moments in Church History.
So romantic, bud. I mean, if that if that doesn't make you want to go buy sweets and flowers. I really am. I was talking to my wife about this. Is where do we get all these flowers in the middle of February?
Yeah, I kind of liked the subtext underneath that Great Moments, Bo. And just to let you know, I think at local drugstores today that Valentine's gifts are highly marked down. So
that's
40%
right.
off.
I tell my wife and kids that we're the family that, you know, we celebrate the day after, you know, like the, in the early church, they would celebrate the feast the day before. We do it the day after. We call it discount feasts.
There are some fun internet memes this time of year. You'll see like St. Valentine beaten and beheaded. Enjoy your chocolates.
Yeah.
It's funny what we do with different saint celebrations.
Well, either way, St. Valentine's Day, pray for us. Speaking of being beaten for the faith, the last thing I'll say about our talk today, one of the things we actually teach Talib for when we teach him in our classes is about his concept of skin in the game. It's this wonderful concept we can go into more, but I think that the way to wrap this all up is when we talk about making the faith incarnational, what we're trying to say is if you don't have skin in the game, if you don't include yourself in the risk of those that you're serving, then you are not truly a servant leader. You don't have skin in the game. Well, bud, it's been a great conversation. Like I said, I've enjoyed it a whole lot. I hope it's been very helpful for people. What should people stick around for? What are some new shows that they should listen to?
Well, again, especially with Lent approaching, if you're thinking about growing deep in your faith and practicing a spiritual discipline, this year we've had Read Through the Bible in a Year. I believe it's at 5 a.m. here on Iowa Catholic Radio. So dig deeply into sacred scripture and the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
That's brought to you by Iowa Catholic Radio, which I know some people think is a for-profit entity, but it's not. We are not for profit, and so we are really dependent on donations. We have the Carathon and everything like that, but friends, if in your heart you feel called by God to support us, please realize that we're always accepting an appeal for donations, and whatever you give, the small amount to the big ones, really helps us be able to provide this ministry for Iowa and have shows like ours, which we are very thankful that we get to do. Well, that's a wrap for the Uncommon Good. May the Prince of Peace reign in your heart, in your families, in our community, in our nation, in the entire world. God bless all of you. Thank you. We will see you next Wednesday here on the Uncommon Good.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.